Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, three, testing. Can anybody hear me? Hey, wait a minute. Don't turn it off. This is Taino Radio. Radio Taino, formerly known as Guasabala 1491. This is Salacori, a.k.a. Taino Sagrado. Man, I'm so happy because I think I'm on the air. What happened was last night, I don't know if it was some psychedelic airwaves going on last night, but check this out. Check this out. I couldn't get through. Not once, but three times. Whoa, sacred number three to send me. Who was around? So I'll take it for what it is. But listen, thank you all for tuning in. All you future listeners that are downloading this show, I'd like to welcome you. Thank you. Thank you. I invited some callers to call in, and it's going to be a great show. It's going to be an amazing show, actually. We're going to talk about, this is like part two, really, of indigenous or Taino identity and the role of DNA. That's right. Sometimes that's a naughty three words, DNA. But that's all right. We're going to throw down today. But wait a minute. I see something coming from the sky. What is that? What? Wait. It's Stephanie Sky.
Hey, son of Gordy.
Yo, this is it. Straight from Area 51. Straight out of Area 51. This is amazing. Stephanie Sky with us. Stephanie has just returned. She got some artifacts from the Arecibo telescope. Or was it telescope? Or what's that called? the dish. The dish that collapsed.
Oh,
luckily,
man.
Stephanie wasn't around when it collapsed, right? You weren't around for that, right? But
no,
you're doing some investigative work.
Definitely
some investigation work. So I just want to do a sound check. You can hear me pretty good. Is there any feedback going on or anything, or you're good?
Nope, loud and clear.
Yeah, man, I'm experiencing some trauma, some Block Talk Radio trauma from last night. Not once, not twice, but three times I failed to
lucky
get connected.
Here we are
today. Man. Is there Mercury?
So it worked out.
I know. Is there Mercury stuff going on?
So.
What?
No, I don't think so.
You know. Okay, I thought Mercury was around or something. I don't know what they call it. What a Yo, this is crazy, man. Only in Taino Radio, you know. You know, I took out the word Guasabala only for logistics, you know, because a lot of people can't spell it, you know.
Yeah.
And some people that spell it wrong, and they can't get the link, so I shortened it to Taino Radio. Yeah, so guys, if you're listening out there, and gals, TainoRadio.com, look at all the stuff that we're putting up, every show will be up there. And Stephanie, guess what? Spoke earlier, Taino Radio is going to be on 7 days a week. What do you think
it's
about
so
that?
Exciting.
All right, man. That's it. It is. It is. We're working on some shows. You know, last Friday we had 4-1, a Lakota woman activist. She's been doing 25 years worth of activism. She's an ambassador against sex trafficking. You know, she helps these missing
Amazing.
Women and children. And, you know, she blew me away. We had some private conversations, and we're going to dedicate a show to that, you know, to the missing women and children. And
that's amazing.
The different, yeah, we're going to talk about the different, you know, what's going on in the Taino world, what's going on in the Native world, in the sense of what's important. You know what I mean? What's important. So that's
exactly.
Very important,
that
right?
To, that representation.
Yep, the focus.
We need that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So, yeah, Stephanie Sky, I see you signed your $2.5 million contract with Taino Radio. You're going to be one of our main hostesses, right? That's going to be amazing. I'll tell you, you've done a lot of research
it's
with...
honor.
Yeah, we just got to get Spooky Lou back. He's somewhere in Area 51 doing some research,
yeah,
some ghost towns he's visiting.
I don't think the aliens are going to let him out. I think they're like Lou.
That's good. That's good, man. But don't worry, he'll be back, man. We'll get the paranormal show back. I know he's doing a lot of research with ghosts. Yeah, man. Hey,
yeah.
I'd like to thank,
yeah.
You know, before we go on to the topic, which is DNA and Taino identity, there's a lot of Taino folks that are all over the world, okay? And once again, I want to acknowledge them. Oh, I can't believe this. Russia, Belgium, Netherlands, Morocco. We even have Italy, been a constant. Australia, a constant. Colombia and South America, one of our homelands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jamaica, Quisqueya, Haiti,
also another.
Puerto Rico. Yeah.
Taino
and I keep saying this. Maybe I'm playing favorites here, but I can't believe that Canada has been constantly in third place.
Out to Canada.
Little Tricor Red, give a shout out to Canada, man. That's amazing, you know, that they've been coming in.
Canada.
Of course, the United, yeah, man. The United States of America, which we call Turtle Island, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've been a constant first place, you know. But then, guess who's in second place? Take a wild guess. They've been in the ratings since day one in second place. Take a wild
guess. I'll remember. Nigeria?
Nigeria, no.
Nigeria. Is it?
Borinquen. Borinquen.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, Borinquen. But you know what? The up-and-coming country that's coming in fourth place, Jamaica. Wow, that's deep, man.
Awesome.
That's deep.
Like I said,
so we have
still
any Jamaican
gotta get the Taino group, the Yucayeque out in Jamaica. We gotta try and make contact with them and try and get them on the show.
Yep, but you know they've been tuning in. So I like to give them a shout out, you know, to all those Jamaica Taino
people.
That's right. And let me see. I'm trying to think of other countries. Well, Russia. I think I mentioned Russia before. Italy. It's just oh, how can I forget Japan? now check this out. I don't know if you know this, Stephanie, but Japan is a hotel, and I don't know the name of it. Okay, that's my bad. I should have researched it. But in Japan, there's a huge statue in their lobby, and guess what the statue is? Take a wild guess.
Okasuke.
Yokahu. Bagua Manakuti. Now, I don't know how politically correct that is, but somehow in Japan, they're honoring the Yokahu somehow in a hotel. So, I don't know. I won't get into the politics of it all, but maybe those are the folks that are tuning in, you know?
Domo arigato to Japan. Thank y'all.
I know, right? This is crazy. So... You know, I just came to, I had a little training before this show on how to set up a website, you know, how to take care of the website. So I want to encourage people to go in there every day. We're going to have some highlights of the shows. And Stephanie, I want to also ask you to do some entries as well. I'll let you know how to do that. But, you know, we're going to keep it high. And listen, hey, I saw your name. I don't know if you got my message. You got the T-shirt campaign going.
And you know I'm going to put my name on it. It's going to say Stephanie Sky. I'm going to put it right on the back and right on the front.
There you go. And, you know, the main thing, you know, we're all volunteer here, but the main thing that we're doing is the, you know, one of my dreams was a scholarship fund for youth. So that's where that money's going to go. Trying to get some kids, some youth to really represent at the college
level. Absolutely.
Level.
I mean, we have no future if we don't have youth, right? So you got to invest
in
youth. You got to protect our children same way we protect our elders, preserving the culture.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
Yep. That's it. It's 21st century, you know, 21st century. We gotta see what that looks like, you know? And,
absolutely.
So right now I'm going to open up the lines. If anyone is interested in sharing about DNA, and I'm going to give you the cue when to call in, but this is the number 515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792. And what's going to happen is you call in. I'm going to, Stephanie, when I say, listen, I have to leave for a minute, I mean, I'm going to talk to a caller. And when I ask the callers to mute their phones until I call your name, okay? So you can mute your phones and then I'll call you in because I want you to hear the show, okay? So. See, I believe they hear like elevator music, right, when they're on hold. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So I'm gonna connect you to the show, but you need to put your mute button on, okay? Definitely your mute button. And then when I call your name, you can unmute it, and then you'll be on. So I'm gonna ask people, give some people the time. I actually, if you wanna do it now, call on in. If you're listening out there, I know places like Japan are probably sleeping, right? They're waking up, right? Japan, Russia.
Yeah, I think they are. I think it's morning, afternoon around there.
Yeah, Mongolia.
I think it's like 4 or 3 o'clock in the morning over in Russia.
Wow, there you go. Now, you know, I'm very excited because my 23andMe, they did a, what do you call it? They did a fresh update. You know, I'm always curious those updates. You know, see what happens. You know. And the thing that was amazing that I was like, all right, what did they take away? Because a couple of years ago, they had me living in my ancestors coming from La Vega, from Santiago, Francisco de Macorís, and all of a sudden it's gone. And now they have me in Cuba. So now I'm in Cuba. So they have me in the eastern part of Cuba. Which is connected to the Mayans of Yucatan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yucatan, Cuba. I'm waiting one day they can put me back to, what do you call it again? Dominican Republic, Quisqueya. Yeah? That's what I'm waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that was mad cool, I guess I was a little happy that I'm in Cuba, you know? Cuba, makes sense. The Mayan A2 haplogroup, which I am.
Right.
But the thing that I love the most, see, I'm looking at my report right now. For some reason, I don't know how, but I got a super increase. Mongolia. That's right, baby. I got 1% Mongolian blood. 2015 to now was 0%. So I'm gonna hook up with the Who Band one day, the Wolf Totem. Here we go. Oh man, I love that song. Do you know that song, the Wolf Totem?
No, I've never heard it before.
You're lying to me.
Nope, I've never heard it. I can't say I've ever heard it before. I will say when I get
on this
podcast, I'll be looking it up, though.
Yo, the Wolf Totem. It's the Black Flag. It's the Congress Khan people, Warrior Society. It's just, you got to look it up, man. Hey, let me ask you a question. I'm going to put myself on hold. Can you explain to the crowd here that are listening, what is SNP. Okay,
so,
and I'll be back,
SNPs,
okay?
You got it. SNPs, also pronounced as SNPs, are, it literally translates to single nucleotide polymorphisms. So SNPs are simply just a single letter in the genetic code that varies between people. So a nucleotide is a letter of DNA that makes up your genetic code, and then the polymorphism changes the or are basically changes in the genome that occur relatively frequently. So sometimes the variations don't make much of a difference. Sometimes they'll have generational differences. Sometimes you'll have a great, great, great grandparent that had one specific genome. And, you know, when it comes down to you, you don't have that genome, but the next generation after you does end up having it. So those variations can switch and change sometimes genetically through your lineage. Other times it's just coincidental when it changes. But that's basically what an SNP is. So it's a very small piece of what makes your DNA or the pieces of your DNA, your, you know, readable. And they correspond with what's called centimorgans, which are the distances between the gaps in your genes. So if you have a whole segment of DNA, basically you can take a look at it like a Hershey's chocolate bar. You know how Hershey's bar has the little squares and then there's the little crevices where you can break off the little sections. That
right.
In itself, if you share X amount of segments before your first break and Y amount of segments between the next break, that's your centimorgans. And then, like, if you have sprinkles on the chocolate bar or, like, the cookies and cream bars, the little pieces of Oreos, that would be, like, your SNPs, your SNPs. Sanakuri, are you back? Sanakuri came back on. Sanakuri is in our little virtual waiting room trying to help our guests that are calling in. So I guess what we can do is address some of the other information regarding just indigenous identity and DNA. So as Sanakuri was saying, a lot of his DNA shows migrational patterns and it gives him different, you know, locations of where genetically his ancestry comes from. Are you back?
Hey, check this out.
Okay.
I went to the outer realm, all right? And I found some good stuff. I found some good people. Yeah, I went to some good people.
Wonderful.
Yeah, man. I got the masculine, the feminine. I got all of that together, you know, in a true dualistic way. So we're gonna have some fun here. And check this out.
Man.
Our first, we have the first person, Taina, who wants to find out about some questions about DNA. Indigenous identity and DNA. Do we really need it?
Sounds good.
Let's see. So let me introduce her. Her name is Pilikis. They're new.
Woo!
Coming in from the outer realm. Bring that fuego, fuego, fuego.
How are you all?
Hey,
that's right.
How are
AKA,
you?
Wait a second. I forgot to introduce you. Inaru Guatu.
Yes.
Woman of fire.
That is I.
There you go.
Inaru Guatu. Thank
that
you for having
amazing.
Me. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh,
the
that's
realm.
Cool. Oh, that's good. Hey, I got a quick song for you. I got a quick song for you. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Now that's an Arawak song from Guyana. And the song is I Am a Monkey Baby. So there you go. You're a monkey baby. So
it.
You are first monkey baby today. Shoot all your questions about DNA. Go for it.
All right. So originally 23andMe had me as 5-6% Taino. And they also did a recalibration to my account, which some of you may know. And now I'm Native American. So it's no longer in that lower bracket of Caribbean from Puerto Rico, where I was raised. Oh, my God. I'm not Taino anymore.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Hold on a second. I know Stephanie's going to say a few words with this. She's really good at this. But I got a quick question. Wait a minute. When you first got your thing, right, it said Caribbean, right? Caribbean, Taino, and Caribbean indigenous, right?
That's correct.
And the first time around? Huh?
That's what it said the first time around. And it showed Puerto Rico and Caribbean and some other parts of Sudamerica. But now it still shows that, like kind of like a 1% potential. But they recalibrated, so now I have more Asian. So now I'm more Asian and I'm Native American. So it's like 6-point-something, almost, like 6-point-something-5 or whatever, Native American now.
And it says Native American, just solely Native American.
That's correct.
Interesting. Stephanie, what do you got to say about that?
So the way the DNA testing works, right, whether it's 23andMe, Family Tree DNA, Ancestry.com, they all use this idea of pooling genetic information, right? So if you have a specified number of people that are using Ancestry.com or in your case 23andMe, they can only pull from what they have. So the more people now, that granular influx of people that have been trying to do their DNA, it's providing them so many different other avenues and other regions of identification. So more people are going to be, you know, sending in their information. The scientists that are pulling and splicing the information from the genes themselves are going to be finding new locations and different regions based off of chromosomal markers. So that's why we get so many updates, whether it's 23andMe or Ancestry.com, because Ancestry.com has turned my life upside down maybe 2 or 3 good times in the last 6 years. So, as science gets more accurate, as scientists find new ways of classification, as we keep on unearthing different variables for specific regions, we're going to keep on getting that information. The good part about 23andMe is that they use the haplogroups. The haplogroups are never going to change. The regions might, because migrational patterns can always be updated. You know, originally they thought that we migrated from one region, you know, up and through Siberia, in through Canada, down through the west coast of the Americas, and down into Central America and South America, you know? So that now is no longer believed to be the theory for everyone. Now they have theories of, well, people came from one direction and they sailed on whatever kind of boats or rafts that they had the opportunity to make and happen to land in other areas. And then some people feel that, you know, the natives in the South American region and the region within between North and South America, Central America, that they migrated to and from the Caribbean regularly, you know, the entire Lesser and Greater Antilles region. So migrational patterns are going to always show variances when it comes down to placing people as far as their genetics go. You also have to take into consideration that you use. So an individual that uses Ancestry.com, Ancestry is worldwide.
you know, anybody can buy an Ancestry kit in any place of the world, send it into Ancestry and get their DNA. Whereas a kit like Family Tree DNA, it's based specifically in European and African regions. So you're going to have more European representatives in your genetic makeup. So when they classify you as Native American, it's just going to be Native American, or it's just going to be Mesoamerican, because they don't have the genetic information to be able to classify you accurately. So it's really all about taking as much of the information as you can get. And, you know, yeah, listen to what you have for face value. It says you're from Cuba, then you probably got a relative that came through Cuba some way, shape, or form. But keep in mind that a lot of these regions and a lot of the DNA that we're getting is residual DNA. Because remember, you get half of your DNA from your mom, half of your DNA from your dad. They got half of their DNA from their mom and their dad. And that cycle continues. So you're looking at a genetic makeup of however many grandparents and great-grandparents, all sections and little pieces, you know, traits from what makes your hair curl in a specific pattern to the way your eyelashes look, you know? So you're getting something from everybody all the way back to hundreds of thousands of years ago. And then through evolution, just in general, our chromosomes also, every once in a while, they change, you know, they, they morph. So there could be modifications in your DNA that causes a specific change that may not have been in your lineage at all. And that could be just environmental. And if you have that environmental change that caused that specific switch, that might place you genetically in a place that you may not have any ties to. So, I mean, you are. We all are. That's what makes us special.
Can you hear me?
Eyes. Technically, I'm a mutant.
Yes.
Wait, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Sana Cody.
All right, check this out. We're all members of Arayeke, Yukayeke, which is a tribal nation, Caribbean indigenous. What's your name again? I'm sorry, Ina Aruguatu. I want you to write the following address down. It's P.O. Box 1491, Brooklyn, New York, 11207. Please send your tribal card. You're no longer a member, okay? We got to find a tribal affiliate up north. I'm going to see if I speak to the Pequot Nation. There was a lot of people sent to the Caribbean.
Send me to the Mongolian. Supposedly I have 18.
Wait, the Mongolian? Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, guys, I got to split for a minute. All right, I have to go for a minute. Just keep the convo call until I come back, okay? Any more questions, and I'll be back, okay? Thanks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's basically, keep that all into consideration. Huh?
Oh, yeah, will do. What did you say about the Mongolian?
I said you're Genghis Khan's great-grandchild, too. Believe it or not, amazing. I'm not even going to lie to you. I thought that I would find something like that when I did my DNA, because my grandfather there is Chinese, right? So I was like, some way, shape, or form, I've got to have some Mongolian in me. Man, no. I thought I had a lot of stuff in me. You know, oral history, family history, they always say, oh, you're from here, you're from here, you're from here, we're from here, we're from there. Man, I did my DNA. I found out my great grandfather wasn't really my great grandfather. I found out that my grandmother lied to me.
Oh my God, that's epic!
I found out I wasn't mixed with a whole bunch of the things I used to be. You know, Ancestry.com turned my world upside
down. We'll have a yoga healing cleansing ceremony just you and I. You're gonna need reboot. You're gonna need a reboot.
Yeah. Well, and ironically, I ended up finding some of the family that actually was my grandmother's father's family. Like, I found her brothers and her sisters. and cousin because we matched on Ancestry.com. It was so weird. But, yeah, no, it happens a lot. It happens a lot. Mm-hmm. I found another cousin from my uncle who's dead. You know, had no idea that she even existed. She had no idea she's related to us. So, you know, some of this
you know what's really
stuff
crazy?
Is great.
It is. But it's scary. It's scary. Like you said, I got a little scary story. My sister and I look nothing alike. Now, if you put all this DNA that you have, you know, I am just an eclectic collaboration of ethnicities. I mean, I probably just don't have two or three. And so one of the things that was a fear of mine is like, wait a minute, they used to tease me and say I was adopted because I came out with red hair and freckles. And I was like, but what if we're not siblings? And so I sent my sisters in with mine. And I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh my gosh, you know, what if, what if, what if? And I'm like,
man, the stuff is gene.
Oh, we're fine, we're fine though, we're sisters.
Maurice said that is dead. All right.
I am not the postman.
Well, did you share your haplogroup, Bilkies? Yeah, haplogroup?
I did not. I'm haplo B2B, Bravo to Bravo, B2B.
Stephanie, did you explain what haplogroups are?
I did not explain what haplogroups are.
Do you want to explain that a little bit? Because I just like listening to you explain this stuff, you know?
One day we'll memorize it.
Oh, man. Just putting me on a spot. So, basically, haplogroups are basically they're either portions of your Y chromosome or your mtDNA, right? So mtDNA is mitochondrial DNA, and then the YDNA, of course, is the Y chromosome. So, you know, males are specifically their DNA is YDNA. Female is the mtDNA. So with genetics, right, you're going to usually want to look up your mtDNA because genetics are usually, or the information, the largest strands of genetic information is going to be passed through the maternal lines. But you can always do YDNA depending on what it is specifically that you're looking for. All humans possess a Y chromosome, right? But a male can only check his YDNA with a male, you know? Whereas a male can also, a male can do it with his mother's DNA as well, but a female can't. She can only do it with her mom's chromosomes. So you're not going to be able to check your dad's DNA with your DNA through the haplogroups, you have to use your brother or your uncle or another male that shares that genetic lineage with you, whereas males can use female or male. Because I'm pretty sure, Sanakori, you were able to get everything through your mom's mtDNA, right?
Yeah.
Is Sanakori even back on the line? Yeah.
You know what's what's incredible? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. What's incredible is that in ancient societies until this day, indigenous, we're a matriarchal society traditionally. Before DNA and all this, we always followed the maternal line, which is amazing, right?
It definitely is.
Hello?
I mean, it's natural. I think it's definitely natural.
It's just overwhelming. I find it. So
I mean, DNA in general is overwhelming for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Now I just want to add something here. There's an article. There's a great article. It's called Genetic Diversity in Puerto Rico and its Implications for the Peopling of the Island and the West Indies. This originally was found in American Journal of Physical Anthropology, 2014. And Professor Miguel Villar, who works with the National Geographic project, for the, what do you call that, for the genealogy project. Remember they did that movie, that documentary?
Right.
So he's part of that, and this article goes deep, super deep into the genetic diversity in Puerto Rico, indigenous. And Dr. Melendez, who's the leader of Nahuake, was part of this study, and also Theodore Shore, the professor of University of Pennsylvania, and the Genographic Consortium. Now, the thing that's cool about this article, it talks about the haplogroups, and they call it haplotype, migration, Caribbean. Oh, my God. Now, Vicky, she says she's B2, what? B2?
B2B.
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 And mm-hmm. Stephanie, do you know yours offhand or no? Let me see. B2B.
I don't know my haplogroup. I did mine through Ancestry, so I still have to do my 23andMe.
Okay. Now, they took the analysis of the mtDNA was 326 males and females, okay? And they looked at the haplotypes, haplogroups, and so on. They found 18 different haplogroups. And Native American haplogroup A2, B2, C1, and D1 was discovered. Haplogroup A2 and C1 accounted for 51.8% of the individuals of the population that was studied. Haplogroup B2 and D1 was 4.3% and 0.9%. Wow. So B2B, wow, that's kind of low percentage, Biliki, so you're part of there.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, haplogroup X2A was also discovered. We're not present in the Puerto Rican samples. Okay. Now, on the Saharan African haplogroups, there was L0, L1, L2, L3, which you find. I've seen a lot of haplogroups. People that I know have that, the L. And that counted for 25% of the participants. So you got 51 and 25%. And then they found North African and they found West European. Let me see. Now, A2 was the most common maternal lineage in Puerto Rico, okay? And it counted for 29.8%. And then outside the A2, hold on a second, was A2Z. And we just go on and on. But the thing that was amazing, mm-hmm. It says among Cubans, a variety of A2Z haplotypes have been observed. And some of the most common, now this is where it gets cool. They go into mutations, the codes, genetic codes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I was excited about. And this was in 2014. During the Taino exhibit opening night, of course, Dr. Melendez was there representing Nahuake. Dr. Shore was there, University of Pennsylvania, as guest. And Dr. Villar. So I had 801 questions for Villar. And he was so gracious. He was so patient, you know. And what he told me was, and they still have to write this, they know exactly. They're pretty sure. They're like 95% sure that they can find these mutations and stuff, where exactly the migrations came from. And in this article, like, for example, for me, A2, it's mostly found in Mexico, the Yucatan, right? You can find it in Cuba, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is not, you know, like I said, 51%, right? Or 28%. But what you find in Mexico, in the Yucatan, in Cuba, in Puerto Rico, there's a certain mutation that's missing a certain genetic code that you only find in Puerto Rico. Of all the islands.
It's because we're aliens.
But check it out. Check this out. Maybe this helped Bucky a little bit. They're tracing it. At the last time I spoke to them, they were tracing it to North America, you know,
wow.
Which is like maybe the eastern part of North America. You know what I mean? So that leads into the whole migration from the north to the south, south to north. You know what I mean? So,
mm-hmm.
So I was excited about that. I was excited about it. And, you know, people that know me, I love Native American culture, North American culture, you know. I'm a fancy mm-hmm. dancer and stuff. It calls me, you know. So whoever these A2 people were, in Puerto Rico or are in Puerto Rico, their origins seem to be way up north. So, and it's all that certain A2 is found in Puerto Rico. So guess what? I'm going to try to hunt them down. I'm going to get him as a guest here so he can see what data does he have. What data does he have about Boricuas, Cubans, Dominican, Tainos, you know? Because he was saying that mostly the A's are from Mexico and Yucatan. Maybe they came from Florida and up north. And then the C's are from South America. Those are your Tainos. And then the B's are your Andean folk, the Andean folks who intermarry with the C's in South America, Colombia, Venezuela, and they intermix. And they came up. They came up like in two waves, two months. So basically, our islands, we're talking about a good 7,000 years of migration, you know?
How many years?
So at least
7,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now that's the best part about having the haplogroups, because that's exactly what it's going to identify for you. It's going to identify those migrational patterns. So when you're looking through your DNA, it gives you those spots where you, quote unquote, belong. But your haplogroup gives you the trajectory of how you got there. So it'll give you that starting point and those little reference dots of where, you know, you fall on the world spectrum. And it literally gives you that trail to follow on how you got from, you know, this side of Europe all the way down into Colombia or Yucatan.
So look, is, you know, the bottom line is we're all indigenous. We're all relatives. We're all cousins. You know, the migration came north or came south. You know, we're all one big family, right? But, you know, some of us, like the A's, it's like the A's probably came earlier, you know, than the South Americans came. The A's are much older in the migration, you know. Then the B's showed up with the C's, and you got the X, and so, I mean, no X, I'm sorry, with the D. Oh, wow. But check this out. Guess what?
Wow.
We have a guest star. He is Cuban descent, and he's looking to – he also discovered – his name is Tristan, and he discovered through DNAs, I guess – I forget what company, but boom, there's some indigenous. So Tristan is on all the way from California. Hold on a second. It's not connecting. Why? Uh-oh, my studio's messing up.
Hey,
Tristan,
are you there? Yep, I'm
here.
How's it going?
Hey, listen, give us your complete name and where you're from.
So my name is Tristan McAllister, and I'm from Maryland, and I'm currently at school in California.
Oh, what school you're at?
St. Mary's College of California. It's in really up north.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Welcome.
Thanks for calling, man.
No problem, man.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, man. So share. I know we talked a little bit through email. Yeah, we talked a little bit on email, but share, what's going on? Any questions about DNA and so on?
Yeah, man. So I'm the son of a full Cuban mother and a American father. And then recently, through an ancestry test, I found out I'm a small portion indigenous Cuban, it said specifically. And I was also born in Puerto Rico, in San Juan. And basically, I just found this out recently, and I want to just know where to start when it comes to embracing it and educating myself.
So you were born in San Juan?
Yep.
Ah, so Boricua, what's up?
My dad's been calling me that since I was probably 3 years old.
he raised you there for up to 3 years old?
I lived there up until I was two, but all of my childhood, I remember him saying Boricua.
Oh, man, there you go. Isn't that sweet? That's cool. I love that, man. So what company did you do the DNA?
Ancestry.
Ah, okay. Now, they don't give haplogroups, but they say Cuban indigenous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they label it as Cuban indigenous. So I used Ancestry.com. So I guess when you had the information, when you saw the information, how did it make you feel overall?
I guess happy, just because it sort of reinforced my Cuban identity.
Okay.
Because all my life growing up, when I tell people I was Cuban, they'd say, you know, no, you're not, or stuff along those lines.
I know that feeling all too well.
Yeah, and I would also say I was born in Puerto Rico, and they wouldn't believe that either. So there's a part of that.
I love this guy.
Well, that's good. It's good that it definitely gave you some kind of reinforcement.
Mm-hmm. And it also just, I guess, yeah, it made me just feel a little bit happy. You know, it made me feel like a history was in my blood. And especially when I found out how almost, I guess, the term endangered the Taino people are. That made me, feel, I don't know, something about my blood. It just, like a rarity almost.
I definitely get that. I definitely understand. There is a very large and common misconception that our people, the Taino people, are extinct and we don't exist. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we do not only this, the DNA information, but the show itself, and why we're so big on activism as Taino people, because we're here, we're present, we're active. You know, we're trying to that cultural continuity, and it takes a lot of effort, you know, and people wanting to really embrace that in order for us to continue to successfully do the work that we're trying to do. So first and foremost, I really appreciate the fact that you're ready to grab hold of this identity of yours and really try and learn about it and regain the cultural continuity. So that's absolutely step number one. You know, as soon as your heart starts beating that sound of the Mayuacan, that's it. You here for life.
Yep. Thank you.
So that's amazing. You know, it's great. It's a great sentiment. It's a great feeling. And like I said, I'm super happy that you're taking the steps to do so. We actually have a Facebook group for Arayeke Yukayeke, where we do provide some educational information. We're going to be providing educational resources and cultural information on it. So you're more than welcome to search for it on Facebook.
I'm going to set them up with that. Yeah, I'm going to invite them to the group.
Yeah. So you can keep up with what we're talking about and learn from us in that capacity. And then the other part, or the other good part about the DNA testing is a lot of us who have Taino heritage and just indigenous heritage in general have been relying on DNA testing because we've experienced a lot of paper genocide. So like you said, you know, you believe that we were virtually extinct, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not by accident. You know, in the 1400s, when we started to become colonized, it was the idea to eradicate us as a people, to remove our identity and, you know, completely erase our history and our culture, you know, forcefully making us be something that we naturally just weren't. So it became almost taboo when we decided to still practice who we were. You know, we were reprimanded for it. We were struck, beaten, killed, all of that. You know, anything and everything that possibly could have been done to us was done to remove those identities. And that carried over, you know, that fear, that generational trauma carried over with us. So our people chose to not identify as indigenous because of fear of what happened to their ancestors.
Indoctrination,
so,
basically.
Yeah.
Exactly. So as a people, we became, you know, removed, and our documents were burned, you know, the churches that did hold a lot of our documents saying that we were indigenous and that we did have census reports, a lot of baptismal records that claimed, you know, Christianity or Catholicism, but still had the race or ethnicity of Taino or Native, Imbio, that was taken away from us. So a lot of indigenous people are relying on DNA to show and prove and regain that sense of indigenous identity to be able to really understand the culture that they come from. So a lot of people are going through exactly what you're going through. Quite frankly, I went through it as well, not that long ago, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So definitely, you know, first step is embracing it. As soon as you embrace it, that's it. That's what you are. You know, nobody can take that away from you. Nobody's going to change the way that your heart beats. So it's
yeah,
all
it's
about
a part of me now.
Exactly. It's all about reaching out to the
welcome
right
home.
People and making sure that
welcome
exactly
home.
That you find your tribe. So Arayeke Yukayeke welcomes you, you know.
Arayeke.
And we're here, you know, whether you keep on having conversations with Sanakori or, you know, you hop into the Facebook group and you introduce yourself and, you know, we have conversations on there, you know, never feel shy to ask a question. We're here to educate at all times, you know, to make sure that you have
definitely.
That level of comfortability and understanding of self and, you know, you really get to know that other piece of you because certain things are just going to start to resonate differently now. You're going to start understanding why you have specific ties to certain things and certain emotions, certain sounds, certain vibes. And it's because, you know, it resonates with you on a cellular level. It's not something that you have to really think about. It's just innate. It's natural. So you're here now.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yep.
I'm glad to be home.
That is so cool. And, you know, anthropology 101, how do you determine the people's a people? You ask the people, and the people will tell you who they are, you know? So that's the key. We all recognize each other as indigenous Caribbean, you know, or Taino or what have you. So, hey, check it out. I have someone on the line. In Facebook, we know her as La Loca. It's Miss Suarez. Are you there? All the way from New Jersey.
Oh, damn.
Are you on an outer... I had to get you two from the outer...
The outer regions of New York.
Hey, man. So what's up? How
yeah.
you doing? Tell us what's good.
Okay.
Tell
so
me.
I had to look through my pictures to see my DNA report that my sister took, but then my brother took one and it was a little different. So I said I have to talk about this. So I'm just trying to figure out when I do the DNA test, I'm hearing that they only do like a 1% of the DNA, whatever the DNA is made out of, they only do a 1% and it doesn't always come out as accurate as it should be because
right.
You know, we had this discussion today. My father's from Cuba. His mother's family is from Cuba since, you know, the natives have been there. And, you know, but my grandfather, his mother is from the Philippines. She was a black Filipina. She moved to Cuba in the 1800s to, you know, get away from persecution. But according
wow.
to my DNA... Yeah, and then my other great grandmother, my mom's side is Lakota, and her one of her great grandfathers is Cherokee. But according to my DNA, it only says like less than 1%. Now we all know, especially you know that I have that spirit in me. You know, we had enough discussions
right.
in me. My great grandmother is my spirit guide. And she's taught me so much, and I've been able to communicate with natives. And they're like, we won't talk to her, meaning my friend, because my friend is European, but we'll talk to you.
Right.
You know, so, you know, even like I say, DNA, I know who I am, and the DNA has basically told me, you know, yeah, I was right.
Something else.
Because I, you know, I'm just trying to figure out was some of my blood, like, washed because I have so much in me. So certain parts are only showing up. But what I'm saying is, like, my great-grandmother was Native American. How is it that it's not showing that, you know what I mean? That's not that far away. That's not that many generations away.
Right. Okay. So
right?
just to quickly answer that question... Right? Just keep in mind that
mm-hmm.
when you're looking at your DNA, right? We have you. And then from you, it's your mom and your dad, right? And then from your mom, it's
mm-hmm.
your mom's mom and her mom. And then it's your mom's mom's mom
right.
and, you know, her dad. So you can get 50% of your DNA from your mom and 50% from your dad, or you can get 20% from your mom and the 80% from your dad. So you're looking at a various combination of genetics that gets passed down. There is no 50-50 split. It's not always 50-50 at all. So what has been passed down from your great-grandmother to your grandmother may have been a very short split as far as genetic characteristics goes. So it doesn't change who you are, and it doesn't change your lineage in any capacity. But what it does do is it changes the information that you have embedded in you and your genetic code. So that's why when I was talking to, I believe it was Tristan, I said, you know, you are what you are, and nobody can take that away from you. And I said the same thing to Bennu. You know, nobody can take it away from you, but take it with the information that it is. You can use paper trails as well. You use family oral history as well. And you combine all of that information. You know, it doesn't change who you are. You know, it doesn't change the way your heart beats, which is exactly what I just told Tristan. But scientifically,
no, it's true. I mean, even
you know,
even
you
the
can
map,
get a portion here and
the
a
map
portion
says
there.
South America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the maps even say
so
South America.
Don't let that deter you.
And Cuba, Dominican Republic, and then. Oh no, I don't. It's just so weird. It's just like, how is this DNA even possible when my great grandmother, her family survived Wounded Knee, you know, and then I know my other side, my grandmother in Cuba, her family has been in Cuba since the beginning of time, you know, and then the Africans came over, and I have more. It's funny because I have more African blood in me than Native American according to this map.
Right. No. Yeah.
You know?
I mean.
And
it's
I was really
exact.
Right.
So I want to
Isn't
chime
that phenomenal,
in here
though?
Well, my sister.
Like they say, a lot of people say, look at me and they see Native. A lot of people look at me and they see Native. A lot of people look at me and they see white. A lot of people look at me like, are you Latina? A lot of people. So it's very confusing to them. They're like, you don't have a white nose. Okay, that's one thing I don't have. And then my high cheekbones. Okay, I get that. But I got the high cheekbones, and I got the darker eyes. Well, my father and the darker hair, but I have the really light skin, but I'm not pink, you know?
So I
so
guess in time,
people
the whole
off.
Features thing, the whole features are going to have to change. We can clearly see that as time progresses and more people enter their DNA samples into this gigantic pool, that what defines you as Caucasian or this or Asian or Spanish or whatever, like this whole thing's got to change at some point, because my sister who's darker, for example, has more European and whatever else mixture, and I have less, for example. I have more of other stuff. I came out lighter. She came out darker. I came out with the red hair. Meanwhile, I have more African DNA supposedly than my sister, but she came out darker. So this whole concept, it's got to get redacted. It's got to get edited. Hopefully soon.
Okay.
Because it's frustrating.
Well,
so I feel you.
Well, you know what's cool? I remember back in 90s.
I'm sorry.
Okay, we only got like 1 minute left. Shoot, real fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other people have told me that they're definitely not from Asian blood, whatever, they're Native, and they're saying that they come from here and they have more like, you know, out of this world blood. So
like extraterrestrial?
How does that fit in?
Anunnaki.
Yes.
Well, that has been a question, you got to tune into the paranormal show.
Yeah, that I was just going to say. We need
But this is also DNA.
Stephanie, you know what?
Well, yeah, it is. But, well, it's definitely a topic that we can tackle in another show, in another segment regarding DNA and the idea of extraterrestrial DNA, because it is a concept, and they are trying to figure it out. But you have to also take into consideration that we don't have all of the information regarding DNA. So what may be quote-unquote alien might just not have been identified as of yet. So we can definitely go ahead and play with this idea on one of the next segments that come up. And, you know, I invite you specifically come back onto the show and call in so we can go
over. Yeah, Stephanie and I, we're actually talking about that for a future show. But you know what? We ran out of time, man. we ran out of time, but guess what? I kind of feel like this Cuban vibe. I feel the Cuban vibe tonight.
Ooh.
Got two Cuban descent.
Oh, yeah.
Taino, indigenous.
You know.
But check this out. So I'm going to end the show with an island jam I love that has connections to Cuba, okay? I hope this is the right song. Hold on. If it's not, I'll switch it.
Uh-oh.
And then we'll end the show. Thank you, everyone, for coming in. Please don't tune out. Listen to this beautiful song because we got a jam. Areto.
Thanks, everybody.
Time to
thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie Scott.